Hello, good afternoon, people. Welcome again to the Trend Movements podcast. My name is Tariq Finn. Let's see, today we've got an overcast day. I've come outside because last time I did a recording, I did it indoors and I found it was a bit echoic? Is echoic, I should know what echoic is. Something to do with sounds, words that sound like, I don't remember. No, that's onomatopoeia, but I'm not sure if that's echoic as well. Anyways, I've come outside to avoid the echoing of the room that I was in the last time, but I'm hearing a lot of noise out here, so I'm not sure if that's going to pick up. I hear dogs, I hear a lot of cars, I hear water running, I hear the ghastly sound of children playing in the park. But when I say let's, I'm talking about myself, give it a go. Today, the topic is going to be saving for your kids' future. I have a one-year-old daughter now. We've started to do some savings for her. Maybe a couple of years ago, I read this book called Safe Strategies for Financial Freedom. One of the writers was Van K. Tharp. He wrote Super Trader, and he wrote another five-part book. I can't remember the name of it. It's a pretty expensive course book, and that was basically going through the psychology of trading. Oh, man. I should remember what that was called. I should add that in the notes, or I'll add that when this is over, what that Van K. Tharp course is called. So for a lot of us, we maybe didn't get gifts from our parents or start out with, I guess, a nice nest egg once we finish college or high school. I've read another interesting thing about gifts, though, is that kids that get gifts, cash gifts, adult children that receive cash gifts from their parents don't tend to do as well. Now, that was in The Millionaire Next Door. It was in The Millionaire Next Door. I read The Millionaire Next Door, and I also read another book by the same author called Stop Acting Rich, but I think it was in the first book called The Millionaire Next Door. And there were a lot of comparisons made to children who receive cash gifts, adult children, sorry, who receive cash gifts from their parents versus people who didn't. So the people who didn't tended to do better financially in their lives on average. But it also said that obviously if you grew up in a millionaire household, receiving gifts or not, you're generally going to tend to do better than somebody who did not grow up in a millionaire household. But that could also do with being exposed to your parents' financial habits or attitudes towards money, etc. Now, the idea that I'm going to go over here is something that I came across in the Safe Strategies for Financial Freedom book. And this is kind of a method of building up your child's savings account, but not fully gifting it to them, like allowing them to kind of work for it and participate in it. So I'm going to go over some of what I wrote in that article. Now, on the website, the article was called Helping Kids Save Money. So I'm just going to go over that a little bit. Now, what they go over first here is the idea that when a child is a baby, they tend to receive a lot of gifts. So maybe your parents will give you some money, relatives give money, people give money for birthdays long before the child will ever need to actually spend any money. Now, in the Safe Strategies for Financial Freedom book, they introduce what is called a two-box system. And the two-box system is actually trademarked because they came up with two boxes for saving. So one box is considered your child's spending money, and the other is long-term savings. So in the beginning, let's say we start out from zero to the age five, the age of five, assuming that until the age of five, your child will probably never, ever have to spend money to buy anything. At around the age of five, maybe they will decide that they want to buy something. I don't know, candy, toys, whatever a five-year-old might desire. Now, the way they start to use the two boxes is whenever they receive any money, any gifts, what they're going to do is put half, 50%, in the long-term savings box and 50% in the spending money box. Now, the spending money box, they are allowed to do whatever they want with it. Now, that gives them the idea that money has power. You can spend it, you can buy things, but there's also the restraint of not being allowed to touch the other 50%. And 50%, that is a very good savings range. Gosh. Now, let's say you're giving your child a $10 a week allowance. $5 a week is going into their savings, and $5 a week is going into their spending money. Now, as a parent, the idea of this system is that you are going to take the savings and do something with it, whether you're going to put it into treasury bonds or buy stocks, something like that. So something that is putting income on the money. So if you're already doing some kind of investing yourself, then you could put your child's money in there with yours, or if it's enough, you could put it in on its own account if you don't trust yourself with your kid's money. For example, let's assume for this exercise that I'm doing in my mind that you have a 10% mutual fund. Now, 10% is very ideal right now, but there are still some vehicles that return 10%. There are some traders that I know, very near and dear to me, that receive over 20% a year in investment. So basically, let's just go with 10%. 10% annually. 0 to 4, baby spends no money. Age of 5, the baby starts to spend some money. All the money that the baby received, the child received before the age of 5, that is all going into the savings account. Now, after the age of 5, let's assume you are going to give your child a $10 allowance. So $10 a week, $5 in one box, $5 in the other box. That's $5 a week the child can use to spend anything. The amount that the child is going to save is going to change as they get older. So when the child is 0 to 4, 100% of the money will go in. Starting at age 5, it's going to be 50%. Once they reach college, let's say they get a job, the idea for them to save in college is 10%, because at that point money is tight. Most of your time is being spent in school. If you have a part-time job, a lot of that money is being used. So 10% savings. But saving 10% is significant because it shows that no matter how little you're making, you should be able to save something. You should be able to pay yourself something. And this is actually something that I've been more exposed to recently since I've been in Asia, because the attitude towards saving here is very different. And it's opened my eyes a lot. Maybe I'll go over that a little bit more. So your child gets out of work, gets out of college, and enters the working world, Once they've entered the working world, they start saving 15%. But since they've already been in the habit of saving for so long, 15% of their income should not be too bad, because they're going to be making more than what they did in college. When the child, when they have their savings, let me just read this over again. When they have children, their savings will once again be 10%. Okay, so after college, 15%. When you have your first child, you are now allowed to save 10%. So you're continuing the savings. There's the cost of having the child, having children, but you're still going to save 10%. Now, let's assume your kids save $730 a year until the age of 5, which I could see possibly, because my daughter, who's a year now, she's definitely received, both from us and from other family, more than $780 or $730 in the first year. Over here in Taiwan, there is a thing called the red envelope you get during Chinese New Year, where relatives give kids money. So a lot of kids receive a lot of money in gifts when they're younger. $730 a year until the age of 5. And from 5 until 12, let's assume they're receiving $365 a year until the age of 12. From the age of 13 to 14, they get a little, maybe a paper route, maybe a combination of paper route and an allowance, one or the other, $750 that year or each year from the age of 13 to 14. From the age of 15 to 17, assuming the child is doing a part-time job after school, that can be $2,600 a year, $780 a year in college, around $800 a year after graduating, and so on and so forth, while earning what we assumed before was 10% in their investments per year. On average, your child should have somewhere around $500,000 US, well, assuming we're talking about US dollars from before, about $500,000 saved by the age of 36. Now, that's high, that's on the high end, because at this point, 2014, if we're talking about mutual funds, we're talking about bonds, T-bills, things like that, there's not a lot that is returning 10%. If you're talking about index funds, it's possible. It's possible that you're going to get somewhere around there. You may have some years above, some years below. But even if we're talking about by the age of 36, the kid has $200,000. Even if we're saying that, that is quite a lot of money. Now, at $500,000 a year at the age of 36, if they're still getting a 10% income from that, that's $50,000 a year in passive income at the annual rate of 10%. So that would allow them to, basically, it would allow them to do a job that doesn't suck, because they have the freedom to kind of bounce from one place to the other and not be locked into something that they don't like because they have bills to pay. So that is that's a good position to be in. So they could find a job that they like. And the fact that they were participating throughout the entire process, it's not like receiving a gift that you just want to spend. Like, if you look into any stories about lottery winners, they generally don't tend to do very well after winning the lottery. Coming into money can be a stressful situation if you spent time without money. And I kind of think that when we're talking about, because I don't remember what the statistic is, it's something like, is it 80% of NFL players go bankrupt within 5 years? Is it 80%? It's definitely over 50. I don't remember the statistic right now. And it's another high statistic for NBA players. Basically, what I think is if you are not educated in dealing with money and saving money from a very young age, or at least before you receive the money, then you're not quite going to know exactly what to do with it or have a perspective of what it means and what you can actually do with it. Now, let's say, ideally, even more ideally, if they had earned 15% a year for the same period, instead of having $500,000 at age 35, they would have $1,202,631. That's great. If the rate was 20%, say your parents are decent investors or things have been going well as far as how mutual funds are going in this time, by the time you start this or by the time you have children, that would be over $3 million. But if we're talking about far enough into the future, $3 million is not going to be as much as $3 million now, obviously. But think about what it's like for a lot of us that we come out of school, we don't have much going on, we start getting money, and we spend money because that's what you're taught to do with money. What I've learned while being in Asia is that there is, from what I've seen, there's a kind of a guilt or shame that comes from spending money frivolously. Like, the pressure to use money to buy a house or the pressure to use money to buy non-depreciating assets seems pretty high here. I was watching something on TV, this is very vague, a long time ago, but they were interviewing people on the streets, talking to people in China about how much they save. And a lot of them were very bashful or almost ashamed to say that they saved 30%. Like, 30% in China, saving 30% of your income in China is not something to be as proud of as you might feel in, say, the United States or Canada. But there's also a very different attitude towards money in this part of the world. Like, people generally talk very openly about money and income and savings, which when I first got here, it was very off-putting. Like, I didn't understand it, because being from Canada, talking about money is kind of, it's definitely a taboo. Like, knowing how much somebody makes is definitely a taboo. I don't even know how much my dad makes right now. So it is a very different world. So the numbers that I'm talking about here are of course based on pretty good years, but like I said, if $500,000 is interest on kind of an average gifting and income of a child and teenager, then let's say you're only receiving 5%, maybe, I don't know, I'm just going to guess, let's say it's $100,000. Having $100,000 at the age of 36 is still, it's not terrible. It's still not terrible. It definitely gives you a leg up. And earning to spending is not the way to go. So this exercise will, at the very least, teach your children the habit of paying themselves first, or just the habit of knowing that there's always something that you can save, and money is useful not just in what you can buy, but it's useful in an investment in the future. So any savings is investment in yourself and in the future. Teaching this to your children is a great idea. I plan to do it with my daughter once she's old enough to start talking, even if I'm still new to, fairly new to this world. But definitely being here, she's definitely going to be inundated with that message, the message of saving, because the Taiwanese side of her family will definitely ingrain that into her as much as it's been ingrained into me. So help your children save a little bit of money. It's a good idea. Nothing can go wrong with it. It's definitely better than teaching them to live to spend, and get them involved in the whole process. Because if they're involved, then it's their work too, rather than a gift. And gifts are not very appreciated things. Gifts are nice the day that you receive them, but a lot of gifts end up being unappreciated in the long run. So that's it for today. If you have any questions or comments, you can email us at info@trendmovements.com. The site, of course, is trendmovements.com. That's the site you're on right now. And I'll continue doing some of these in the future. I'll try to get a little bit smoother. I've been noticing a lot of my ahs and pauses, but I'm doing this one cut, one take. So that'll happen. That'll happen. Anyways, guys, take care. Thank you for listening, and hope to hear from you soon.